Well, good evening, everyone. I wonder how you feel about personality tests. Things like Myers-Briggs, Belbin, DISC, that kind of stuff. They're a bit Marmite-y, aren't they? You either love them or hate them. Well, I love them. I really enjoy kind of thinking about personality and character and how people interact with one another. And a couple of weeks ago, I was doing some work with a Myers-Briggs coach, and it reminded me that I first did Myers-Briggs about 15 years ago. And I was at Vicar Training College. And if you don't know how Myers-Briggs works, basically you answer a load of questions and you kind of think and reflect about how you would engage in particular situations. And then it all plugs into a very clever system and it comes out with four letters. And those letters equate to 16 different personality types. So everyone in the world can be put into one of those 16 personality types. Now, they don't claim that it's kind of all, you know, it's all-consuming and everything, you know, and solves everything. But it's actually remarkable how many people read what comes from looking at those four letters and what the subsequent explanations are and think, wow, yeah, that really is me. That says a lot about my strengths and my weaknesses. So my four letters were ENTJ, meaning extrovert, intuitive, thinking, judging. So I am an ENTJ. But the thing I remember most about that session was actually just after the main session, where some of my Vicar Training buddies and I went on a website which purports to tell you famous people or characters from history who may have the same personality type as you. This was quite exciting, bit of fun. So we looked it up, and of course I typed in ENTJ. The first two names that came up, Hitler and Napoleon. That was a bit depressing, in all honesty. So I've been living with that for the last 15 years. And then a couple of weeks ago, like I said, I was working with this Myers-Briggs coach, and we went through some of the same questions and so on. And actually, it turns out that my personality has changed a little bit over the last 15 years. That happens. And now, instead of being an ENTJ, I'm an ESTJ. And that was good, and it was interesting. I looked through some of the things that ESTJs are like and thought, yep, that's a bit like me. I can see that. And then I was most excited, after we'd finished, to go back on that website and see what famous people or people from history might have the same personality type of me. Finally, I was going to get rid of this label of Hitler and Napoleon. Maybe it would be Martin Luther King. Maybe it would be Mother Teresa or Gandhi. I don't know, but I was excited. So I looked it up. And I'm suddenly not sure if I should be telling you this. So I looked it up. And I promise this is no word of a lie. The first two names that came up for ESTJ, Margaret Thatcher and Saddam Hussein. So those are my four choices. Hitler, Napoleon, Thatcher and Saddam. I mean, you know you're in trouble when Maggie's your best bet. I mean, on the plus side, I've clearly got some leadership potential. On the downside, I might not be exercising it as so benevolently as I thought. And obviously, this is all a bit silly and a bit of fun, and I presume reading further down those lists, there are some better options. But actually, it wasn't great hearing that. That didn't make me feel wonderful about myself. What Myers-Briggs has to say can have an effect. Actually, what people say about us has an effect, doesn't it? The things that people say about us have a profound impact on our lives. I wonder if I say to you to think of something that someone has said about you, I wonder what you would think. Maybe you'd think of something really positive that someone said. Maybe, and perhaps probably, you'd think of something negative that someone has said. Maybe it'll be something quite recent, or maybe it'll be something from years or decades ago that still niggles at you. What people say about us can have a huge impact upon who we are. And we're not alone in that. That's been the case throughout the whole of human history. And it was no different for the people at that very first Christmas, the people we've been reading about today. Take Joseph, for example. Joseph was an uneducated tradesman from a backwater town in the middle of nowhere. People said that Joseph was irrelevant. People called Joseph boring. I wonder if that chimes with any of us here. Has anyone ever told you that you're boring? Or perhaps you worry that that is what people think, and you wouldn't be alone in that. People called Joseph boring, but God called him loved. God saw that Joseph was loyal and faithful, and God called him to play his part. Then there was Mary. Mary was pregnant outside of wedlock, and in that day and in that age, that was really bad news. People called Mary a disgrace, and probably worse than that. I wonder if you've ever felt that people were judging you for something you've done or for the way that you've lived your life. Mary knew all about that. People called Mary a disgrace. God called her loved. He saw that she was strong and resilient, and he called her to play her part. Then there were the shepherds. Now, the shepherds in that society weren't the lowest of the low. That was reserved for pig farmers. But they were pretty close. Again, they were uneducated people who lived on the fringes of society with their smelly sheep. People called the shepherds stupid. I wonder if anyone's ever said that about you. Maybe a teacher, maybe even a parent, or a friend, or someone at school or work. People called the shepherds stupid, but God called them loved. He saw that they were caring and hardworking, and he called them to play their part. And then there were the wise men. And actually, the story's a bit different for the wise men, because some people looked up to them. They were, after all, wise. They were also wealthy. Perhaps people admired them for that. Maybe people admire you for your education or for how much money you earn. But the wise men were also foreigners, people who'd come from a far distant land. They looked different. They sounded different. And sadly, as has so often been the case throughout human history, that led to people acting out of fear or prejudice, even racism. The wise men were called outsiders. I wonder if that chimes with you. The wise men were called outsiders, but God called them loved. He saw that they were adventurous and open-minded, and he called them to play their part. We've just appointed a youth ministry coordinator here at St. Luke's, and so over the past few weeks and months, I've been reading a lot of applications and references for people. Thankfully, we've appointed a brilliant person who we introduced to the congregation this morning. But I've been reading a lot of those references, and it reminded me of the very first church job that I applied for some 20-something years ago. And I applied for that job, and somehow I got that job, but it was a bit of a miracle, because I later found out what my references had said. So I'd asked a friend of mine to write a reference for me. And I discovered later that under strength, he'd written tall, blind, and skinny. And under weaknesses, he'd written tennis in the dark. Presumably, there were no other applicants for the job. I don't know how I got it, but I did. But the good news for all of us today is that God doesn't take references. He doesn't need to, because God knows everything about us. He knows all of our weaknesses. He knows what people say about us. He knows what we think about ourselves, and he loves us anyway. Whether you identify with Joseph or Mary or the shepherds or the wise men, maybe people have said that you're boring or a disgrace or stupid or an outsider or any number of other things. God loves you. In the video we were watching, Di Woolridge was talking about the cord that runs through the whole Christmas story. Well, the cord that runs through the whole of the Bible and the whole of history is God's love. The whole point of Christmas is that God loves us so much that he sent Jesus. So whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever's been done to you, God loves you. That's the good news. There's also a challenge, because God calls us to play our part. You see, as well as the fact that God knows our weaknesses, he knows our strengths too. Maybe the strengths that other people don't see in us, or perhaps that we don't even see in ourselves. God is like a biased parent. If you've got kids, you know what I mean. We know our kids' weaknesses, but we love to emphasize their strengths. My mum's like that. She's never once thought that I was anything like Saddam Hussein. God is a loving parent who sees the weaknesses but loves to emphasize our strengths. And so maybe you're loyal or faithful. Maybe you're strong or resilient or caring or hardworking or adventurous or open-minded or any number of other things. God sees those, and he's calling you to play your part in his great story. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, they all played their part. How do we play ours? Simply by letting God's love overflow out of us into the lives of others, and using whatever gifts and talents we have to help do that. And so this Christmas, whether you're a Mary, a Joseph, a shepherd, or a wise man, whether Myers-Briggs says wonderful or awful things about you, whether people say good or bad things about you, my hope and my prayer is that you would know that you are loved. And more than that, that God is calling you to play your part. He's calling us to play our part in his great story. Amen.